Shalom, sweetest friends. It's a very, very fascinating topic we have today. It's called Yerusha Berabbanus. Can one inherit the rabbinate? Somebody's father is a rab. Does he necessarily take over for his father? So we're going to be basing ourselves on the Svarim Minchas Osher and Sefer Bamidbar and Siman and Tes by the Gaon Rav Asher Weisschlita and the Kli Chemda by Rav Meir Dan Plotsky in Parashas Pinchas. So it says in Parashas Pinchas, Perikov Zayin Pasuk Des Zayin, Yivko Hashem Elokei Aruchos Isha La'ida Asher Yetzei Lefneim Asher Yavo Lefneim. Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu to appoint somebody to lead the Jewish people. Says the Medrash Rabbah, why punk now? Why suddenly now did Moshe Rabbeinu ask, after the parasha of Nachalos, after the parasha of inheritance, did Moshe Rabbeinu ask that his son should take over? So the answer is, the Medrash explains, because when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Benos Tzvavchad were inheriting their father, he said, now it's time that I should worry about my own needs. If the daughters inherit, so it would make a lot of sense that my sons should inherit my honor. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, not so fast. It says in the Pasuk, Notzar Te'ena Yochal Piria, he who guards the fig tree will eat the fruits. He says, your son, children, didn't learn enough Torah. Yoshua served you, gave you kavod, came early and late to the Beis Medrash. He would organize the benches, he would spread out the mats. Since he served you with all of his koach, it's kedai that he should serve the Jewish people. As it says, Notzar Te'ena Yochal Piria. He who guards the fig tree will eat the fruits. And the Mele Yoshua, he worked hard, he guarded the tree, he worked. He should eat the fruits of his labor. So from here, the Chasam Sofer and Aruch Chaim Siman Yud Beis writes that this is a raya, that there's no such thing as Yerusha Berabbanus. A child doesn't inherit his father. Why? Because it's clear that Moshe Rabbeinu would not have asked that his sons should inherit him unless they were worthy of the honor. And despite the fact that they were worthy of the honor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give it to them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to Yoshua for other reasons. Hashem had his reasons. No tzar te'ena yochal period. Yoshua was a faithful Talmud of Moshe. That's why he gave it to him. Doesn't mean Moshe Rabbeinu's children weren't worthy. It just meant that Hashem had his reasons for giving it to Yoshua. But if there was a din of Yerusha, then he would have given it to Moshe's sons. So from Dantas Gedringen, from here's Mashma, I think that's how you say it, that there's no Yerusha Mavadis, and that's why Moshe's sons didn't get the job. So there's a famous kuntras by the Heilige Avnei-Nizer, the Sakat Shavarebbe, Sheish Malas Lakisei, where he's Marech in the Sinyan of Yerusha Rabbanis, and he rejects the Chasam Sofer. He says, no, fakir. You see from the Medrash that they weren't worthy. You see also in Office to Rabbi Nassim, he brings that Moshe Rabbeinu's children were not worthy of being the leaders of the Jewish people. So therefore they didn't get the job. Had they been worthy, then Hashem would have given it to them. Here also in the Medrash says, Banecha Yashvu V'loskub Torah. Your children sat and didn't learn. So Memela, they're not worthy of the honor. So it's not a raya from here that there is no Yerusha Berabbanus. Really, there is possibly Yerusha Berabbanus. But here, Moshe Rabbeinu's sons didn't get the job because they weren't worthy. There's only Yerusha if the child is worthy. If the child isn't worthy, everybody agrees there's no Yerusha. But the question is here, were Moshe Rabbeinu's children worthy? The Chasam Sofer says, yeah, they were. And yet they didn't get the job. It must be that there's no Yerusha. The Avnei Nezer says, no, from here you see that the Moshe Rabbeinu's sons weren't worthy. Maybe if they were worthy, they would have gotten the job. If they were worthy, they would have gotten the job. So the Ramah in Yoredeya, Simon Reish Memhei, Sivchav Beis, writes that if somebody is a rab of a city, then he gets to keep the job, you know, to fire him, stop. And even his children, they come first. As long as they're fulfilling the place of their forefathers with fear, and they're a little bit wise. And if they have a minhag to take a rab for a certain amount of time, then they're allowed to. So that's the Ramah. So the Ramah here says, Afilu b'no ben b'no, l'olam kodim la'achayrim. Your children come first, there is Yerusha, as long as they fulfill the place of their fathers, b'yira v'ein chachamim k'tas. And they're a little bit wise. And the source of the Ramah is the Rambam. The Rambam writes in the first parak of Hilchos Melachim, Halacha Zayin, Not only the kingship, but all leadership positions, all appointees in Klal Yisrael are inherited by the children and the children's children forever. Provided that the son can fulfill his father's place with fear and with wisdom. And let's say, says the Rambam, he had fear of heaven and he wasn't so smart. So then you appoint him and you teach him. And so writes the Rambam in the fourth parak of Kohen Mikdash Halacha Chaf, that when the king dies, or when the Kohen Gadol dies, or any of the other people who are appointed dies, then you appoint his son, as long as he can fill his father's shoes. Even if he's not as smart as his father, you still give him the job. So here you see that there is Yerusha. And also in our Chaim and Simin Nun Gimel, Sif Chafei, the Rambam writes, that if a chazan got old and they want to appoint his son to help him out, and he wants to appoint his son, to help him out, even though his son isn't as good a singer as his father, he's not as good a chazan as his father, if he's memaler makom aviv b'shar dvarim, v'no kodim l'chol adam, v'en atzibu yochol limchos bo. So he's a good guy, he's a yari shemayim, can daven, he doesn't have a lousy voice, that's not as good as his father, but the famous Reb Chaim says if you can't sing at all, there's nothing to talk about. But he's not exactly like his father, but he's still a good guy. Then you give him his father's job. And the Magen Avraham and Sif Katan and Gimel writes, V'cheinu b'sifri shekol ha-menuyim b'neim kodmim. Sons come first, all appointees. And continues the Magen Avraham, V'rashdam b'yaridei simin pei aleph. Kosav. If it's a Rav, it's a Chacham who's teaching Torah, we don't say there's Yerusha. And we'll be saved by Sarah Ma'amaros to call him a Nim Shem Kesser Torah and B'nam Kodman. Rachni, Hilla, Nasi, Ve'elach, Nogush, B'nam Kodman. So, he says there that Me'ekar Adin, the sons don't come first, but the Minigis from Hilla, Nasi, Nan, that the sons do come first. But you see how Kopan in this day that the Magen Avraham agrees to, that really you don't have to appoint the sons from the Ma'arish Dam. The B'chacham, Lo Amrinan came. It's a Chacham who's teaching Torah. You don't say that there's such a thing as Yerusha. So thus far we have the Chasim Sofer, who says that there is not Yerusha B'Rabbanus. You see the Ramah, who says there is Yerusha, facing himself, based on the Rambam, says there is Yerusha Barabbanus. And then the Magen Avraham brings the Ma'arish Dam that there isn't, but there's a chiluk between Rabbanus and other appointees. When it comes to the Chacham, there's no Yerusha. Keser Torah is munach l'kulam. Everybody can take it, but in other areas there is Yerusha, like a chazan. Son can take over, son should take over. However, in the Chasim Sofer, l'chor there's stiras. Why? Because in Or HaChaim, Siman Yud Beis, he writes that La Halacha L'Maisa, the Iker is Keshita of Shitas HaMa'arish Dam and the Ramami Pano, the Asar Ma'amaris, that Me'iker Adin, there's no Yerusha B'Rabbanus. And he proved it, as we saw earlier, from the Medrash about Moshe Rabbeinu, that there was no Yerusha B'Rabbanus, and that's why, even though his children were worthy, they didn't get the job, because there's no din of Yerusha with Rabbi Rabbanus. And he concludes, L'maisa, Hayotzei lanu mizeh v'nidon shelot v'neinu, Dimein lo v'atzibur maskimim alav lios lam l'ra v'toyfes yeshiva, Ein lo l'star alay mitam nachos avais of klal. If the tzibur isn't maskim, they don't agree, then he should be the Rav, he should be the Rosh Yeshiva, then he shouldn't take the job. Because it was his father's job. That's in Siman Yud Beit. Now, in Siman Yud Gimel, L'chori was Chozer, and he seems inclined towards the opinion of the Ramah, that there is Yerusha B'Rabbanus. Because after he mentions his psak, that there's no Yerushim Rabbanis because Keser Torah is Munachas B'Keren Zavis for Halarot Zalito Yobo B'Yito. Anybody can take the Keser Torah. There he continues and he writes, V'omnon Hayom Chazarti V'Yanti B'Zel Akayim Diver Ramah Simen Reish Memhe. Today I was Makayim again the Ramah, I was Ma'ayin in the Ramah and Reish Memhe. Divinely Nasi HaTorah B'Zman Chazal Hoya Ka'in Minu Kedusha Levan V'lo Sheris V'Zein Enu B'Yerusha. So the Chasam Sofer writes that in the time of Chazal, somebody was a Nasi of Torah, he was like the Torah leader. So that's in the meaning of Kedusha, and that's not service. And that doesn't pass by Yerusha. But he says, Bizman Azeh, what's a Rav? A Rav is a servant. He's serving the community. The public servant. So in Meila, just like every other servant, every other public servant, there is Yerusha. What, just because he's also a Torah scholar, we should lose out? So when we're talking about Hillel Ve'elach, when he was in Nasi and Torah, and not only that, says the Chasam Sofer, he also Zechel Amalchus David, they're related to King David. So there they had Yerusha. So Hachanami the Chavase. So too in our case, that if you're just a Sar HaTorah, then you're not going to have Yerusha. But if there's more to it than just being this master of Torah, either you're a public servant, Zecher L'Malchus Beis David, so there is going to be Yerusha. So, L'Chorah, he was chosen from his previous Pesach, and the previous Pesach he said there's no Yerusha upon us. And now he says, B'Zman Hazeh there is. This person's a public servant, and we even see that from Hillel on, even though he was a leader in Torah, there was still Yerusha. We have a reason to do Yerusha. Then we have Yerusha. So Bizman Hazeh, there is a reason. So there, Rahi Paskins, that it's talking about being a rub of the whole country. There, Yerusha won't help. There, you have to be the rub of the country. You need to be the biggest of all. But in general, the rub of a town, the rub of a shul, there will be Yerusha. The son will take over, will inherit the father's job. So L'chorah the Chasam Sofer retracted his previous psak, and he says this now that there is Yerushim Rabbanus in Siman Yud Gimel. And he says, Baruch Hashem, I was mahapek b'schus of Tam Chacham, who did give Yerusha. So it's a good thing. Next, Chasam Sofer, Choshen Mishpat, Siman Chof Aleph, there he writes about a certain Rav who is inheriting his father, and another Rav came in, he was Masik Vul, he wanted to take the job. So the Chasam Sofer writes, Ve'al achnis atzmi ato b'pilpul zeim aben yorish kod avosav b'gdulas ha-Torah v'ravanis. Dezeh yinu tzrichim in b'tchilas aminu ha'e rav rotza liskos mitam yorish stavosav. Aval acha shekva zacha u'ketor asu anshe ha'kiyilu v'keblu aleim v'noreg rabanis b'shalo b'mishor zeh kamash b'mishor zeh kamash shanim. So the Chasam Sofer says, I don't want to get involved in a whole pilpul. But the matzav here, because if you would have asked me at the beginning, we could have discussed it. Then maybe at the beginning you would have said he wants to be Yoresh's father. So should he or shouldn't he? But now that he already did take over for his father, and he's been doing a good job, and the Kehila accepted him upon them, so, and now this new guy wants to come in and kick him out, there's no question. He's like any other guy who tries to take someone else's job. He's in Russia. He's Yoed Lumnus Chavera. So here also, it seems that the Chasam Sofer isn't so clear, there's no Yerusha. Remember the Chasam Sofer in Siman Yud Beis in Orach Chaim says there's no Yerusha Rabbanus. And here he says, listen, had you asked me at the beginning, before anything started, that would have been a good time, could have discussed it. But now that he already took the job, Uketola asu anshei kila b'kiblu aleihem, and they did the right thing by accepting them, him upon them. So how can this other guy come and kick him out? So the Chasam Sofer certainly isn't as certain that there's no Yerusha. Here he seems to be leaning a little bit more that there is, or at the very least he's Mesupik. Since the beginning we could have been Mefalka, before anything started. But once he took the job, now there's nothing to talk about anymore. So what happened? Yuchasim Sofer said in the Tshuva in Or HaChaim Yud Beis that there's no Yerusha in Rabbanus. And here it's not, you're not so clear about that anymore. Here you say, at the beginning we could have discussed it, but now there's nothing discussed anymore. Let him keep his father's job. They did the right thing by accepting the son upon themselves. So what happened? What happened to the Chasam Sofer? Now, in Siman Yud Beis, where the Chasam Sofer says there's no Yerushim Rabbanus, that tshuva was written in the year Tavkuf Pei. The two other tshuvas that I mentioned, where he seems to retract, they were written in Tavkuf Pei Dalet and Tav Tzadi later. So in the later tshuvas, in the later years, he seems to retract. However, the Menachas Asher says that really, the Ikar Das of the Chasam Sofer is really explicated in Siman Yud Beis. Because there he says, I hold like the Magen Avraham, that there's no Yerushim Rabbanus. And there's really nothing compelling us to say that he retracted in the later tshuvas. Because in Choshen Mishpat, he didn't really get into it. He says, at the beginning we could have been Mefalko. Now already what's done is done. They already accepted themselves, him upon them. It was a nice thing, they took him, but there's nothing to talk about anymore. It's a done deal. But he doesn't get into the issue. He says, if you would have asked me at the outset, then we could have discussed it. So here he doesn't talk about it. And not only that, in the other tshuva, in Siman Yud Gimel, he says that I was lahapik b'schus tamid chamu b'neim. I wanted to be melamed schus on them. So when he says that there is Yerusha, it's a limud schus. However, when he really got into the issue in Siman Yud Beis, there he says that there is no Yerusha. And that seems to be his ikar psak. So the suffix of the later tshuvas isn't motzi midei vadai of his earlier psak, that definitely there was no Yerusha in Rabbanus. However, his son writes, the Chasam Sofer's son writes in the Ksav Sofer and Yoredeh Siman Kuf Chav Gimel that the Chasam Sofer really did. He really did retract. And later in his life, he said that in Hungary, there should be Yerusha Rabbanus. So it seems you have the aegis of his son that he did retract, and it seems you do. He retracted. And therefore, there should be Yerusha in Rabbanus like the Ramah. Now, the Chasam Sofer is Choshev Talmud, the Maram Shik, and Yoredeh Siman Reish Chof Ches writes that the Chasam Sofer and Siman Yud Gimel did retract a little bit. And the Maram Shik says that it's very hard to be Doche, the Rambam and the Ramah, who say that there is Yerushim Rabbanus. And the Mechaz of the Maram Shik was Mechadish, two big Kedushim. Number one, that even according to those opinions that there's no Yerushim Rabbanus, that is only when somebody is more fitting for the job, he's a better learner, he's got more Yerushimayim than the son. But if they're equal, then everybody would agree that the son gets it. Number two, even if there is a din in Yerusha and Rabbanus, like the Ramah and the Rambam say, nevertheless, you need the Tzibur to agree, as it says in the Gemara Brachos, in Hamad Beis, Ein Leman and Panis Ala Tzibur, Elin Kenim Lachem B'Tzibur. You don't appoint a leader over the community unless you ask their opinion first. A little democracy in the Gemara. So therefore, you need the scum of the Tzibur. So the Tzibur has a chova to be Mamlech the son. A, the Maram Sheikh says, you have to ask their opinion. And B, he says that, but their obligation is that their opinion should be that it's the son. So, what's going on over here? Which one is it? Do you really ask their opinion? Or do they have to appoint the son? So the answer is that you do ask their opinion. And if they don't want him, then he's kekvala. He's not a schus. And therefore, there's no Yerusha. So if the son is worthy, then the community has to appoint him. if they don't want the son, then they don't have to take him, because then he's considered a klala. So even if there is a din of Yerusha, but they have to want him. So it sounds a little bit funny. And one has a din of Yerusha. On the other hand, you have to ask their opinion. And then when you ask their opinion, they should really be appointing the son. Unless they don't want him. If they don't want him, they can appoint somebody else. So if they can appoint somebody else, what about the din of Yerusha? The answer is that there is no din of Yerusha if they want somebody else. Because then he's not a bracha, he's a klala. And they're not obligated to take that upon themselves. So again, the two chedushim of the Maram Shikar, that even according to the opinions that there's no Yerusha Rabbanis, that's only when someone is even more worthy than the son. The son is worthy, but someone's more worthy. But if the son is equally worthy to anybody else or more, then you take the son. And the other opinion is, even according to the other chiddush is, even according to the opinion that there is a din of Yerusha Rabbanis, nevertheless, you need that scum of the community. If you don't have the scum of the community, the tzibur doesn't agree, doesn't accept upon himself this leader, then they don't have to take him. So it's a nice thing to appoint the son, but if that's not what the community wants, they don't have to take him. However, the Maher Sham, Chelik Dalit, Simon Kuf Mem Gimel writes that even if most of the tzibur is opposed, the son still doesn't lose out. The son still gets the job. So the Menchas Asher is Mechadesh, that even according to those opinions, that there is Yerusha Barabanos, this Yerusha is different from Yerusha's Mammon and the parish of Nachalos, from inheriting land, inheriting money. Because in Rabbanos, we don't say that if there's no son, then the father inherits. We don't say that in Rabbanos. We say in Hilchas Nachalos, if a child dies and he doesn't have his own son, then the father inherits him. But we don't say in Rabbanos that if the Rav dies and he doesn't have a son, then his father gets the job. His father's a Rav. We don't say that if there's no father, then the brother gets the job. So we don't say, that's what we say in Nachalos, but not in Rabbanos. And not only that, but the Achronim write that if the Rav is getting old and he needs his son to help him out, because of this halacha, he can bring his son in to help him out. And so writes the Raman Simon and Gimel about a chazan. He can bring his son in to help him out with the chazanis. So in Dina Yerusha, you don't have a Din of Yerusha Mechayim. So you see here that it's not typical Yerusha. There's no Din of a father taking over for his son. There's no Din of it going over to the brothers. There's no din of Yerusha Mechayim. Meaning, in the Dina Yerusha, when you talk about Mammon, and when you talk about land, it does go to the father and the brother. But not by Yerusha Barabbanis. By Yerusha Barabbanis, while he's still alive, he can bring someone in. By Yerusha of Nachala, you don't find such a thing. So you see that there's a fundamental difference between Yerusha Barabbanis and other types of Yerushas. So this is a special halacha, the Dina Yisrael, that a son is able to take over his father's job. And this is not a din in Nachalos. This is Mipashas HaMelech. As it says, Leman Yarech Yamim HaMamlachto Hu Banav Bekerav Yisrael, in order that he should have a long life on his kingdom, he and his sons amongst the Jewish people. The Medrash says, what do you mean Hu Banav? That if he dies, his son takes over. Not only that, how do I know that anybody's, all leaders, their sons take over? Hu Banav Bekerav Yisrael. And if you're amongst the Jewish people, your son takes over for your job. So, therefore you have a pasuk saying, by a king, that his son takes over. So that would be our makor over here. It's not a regular din of Nachalos, but it's a din of Yerusha of a king, that its son inherits his king, and not a regular Nachalos, because as we saw, there are fundamental differences between here and Hilchos Nachalos. Only problem is in the Medrash that we read at the outset connects it to Hilchos Nachalos. It says, why here after the dinam of Nachalos? And it says, because he saw that Notzlocha got the land, so he decided that he now wants his sons to get his job. So you see, the Medrash does connect the two. But it's not literal, maybe it's only Cain, Dimoy Milsa La Milsa, it's not really Medinei Nachalos, but that's what Moshe created this association in his mind, but it's not Mamish Dinei Nachalos. As we see, there are different halachas, but anyway, the Medrash does connect the two, however you explain it. Not only that, but besides the halacha of the Medrash saying that a king's children take over, you also find by a Kohen Gadol, it says in Torah's Kohanim, Vayikra Tesayin Lamed Beis, that a son comes before anybody else. So you have a pasuk by Kohen Gadol that a son takes over. You have a pasuk by king that a son takes over. And why do you need pesukim regarding both? So l'chora you'd be mechalek al pi svara, that a king is a leader, and therefore that's more similar to Yerushas Mammon. So this Shilton, this Srara, by a king, is similar to also inheriting the money. But Kohen Gadol has no, it doesn't rule over anything. So Memela, that would be different, and there wouldn't be Yerusha. So Kamash Malan, the Pasuk, it says there's even a Yerusha by a Kohen Gadol. Now Kohen Gadol, he's Zoche, he gets to do the Avoda. It's covered, it's Romulus. So you might think that only if it's such a position of covenant Romulus, there you have a Yerusha. Mashain Kain, the pasuk of a king. It's not the same type of, he doesn't have a voda like the Kohen does. He doesn't have the same honor of doing a voda in the Beis HaMikdash. So you would think that it's different. So Kamash Malan, both of them. But not only is there a din of Yerusha by a Melech, who's a ruler, but even by a Kohen Gadol who's not a ruler. Not only is there Yerusha by Kohen Gadol, who's all there in the Beis HaMikdash, but even by a Melech there's Yerusha. So that is why you need Pesukim for both. However, again, as we said, by the din of being Yoresh, by Rabbanus, it's not a regular din of Yerusha, as we saw the difference in Halacha, but rather it's halacha of brakara davua, that the son should be taken over for the father. The son takes over the leadership of the father, like we see by Kohen Gadol, like we see by Melech. We also have that by Yehud, that if the father doesn't do it, the son does it. It's also a special din that the son does it. It's not a din of Yerusha. And according to this approach, now we understand something else, that it's Pashim in the din of Yerusha, everybody gets an equal inheritance. But when you talk about Yerusha's Rabbanus, so there, the father's Zchus isn't split up amongst the sons. You don't have the father dying and each son gets a fourth of the Rabbanus if he has four sons. Rather, one of his sons gets the job. So you see that this Yerusha is different than Yerusha's Mammon. Now in the Shalos, the Tshuvas Maharsham and Chelik Dalet, Simon Kuf Mem Gimel, there he talks about a situation where there was a father who had two sons, and the older son got his father's job. He left the job, there was a big fight, and he said he'll give his younger brother the job, only to his younger brother, but that his younger brother's children shouldn't inherit his brother. And then the older brother died, and then the younger brother, who is the Rav, also died. And they both had sons who could have taken over the job. So who gets it? Does the older brother get it, who originally had the job of Rav? Or does his younger brother get it, despite the fact, his younger brother's son get it, despite the fact that when he gave it to his younger brother, he made it tonight that his younger brother's children shouldn't get it? Paskins the Maharsham, that the son of the younger brother gets the job, because the older brother lost his chazaka. That's the psak of the Maharsham. However, in the Divrei Chaim, the Tzanz Rebbe in Chelek Aleph Yeridah Siman and Gimel writes that if a Rav died and his son-in-law took over his job, and then his son-in-law died, his younger son gets the job and he doesn't lose it to his son-in-law, meaning his son-in-law's children don't take over the Rav's son-in-law. His own son gets it, just because his son-in-law was Rav in the interim doesn't mean that he lost his original chazak on the job. It's as if he still has it. And then his younger son gets it. Unlike the Maharsham, who says, no, Once the person gives, somebody else gets the job, then his children now have the right to inherit the position. So that's the machlokas ma'asham divrei chayim. If someone was rub in the interim, does he get this? Do his children get the job, or does the original rub's children get the job? The ma'asham holds that the new rub's children get the job, even if the original rub made it tonight that they shouldn't. And the divrei chayim says no, that the original rub's children get the job, even though someone else was rub, the rub's son-in-law was rub in the interim. Now in the Shalos and Shuvas, Avnei Nezer, Yoredea, Simon Shun Yud Beis, Os Aleph, there he writes a chiddush that there, when there's a machlokas, when there's a fight, that when people contend the position of the Rabbanus, that the Rav shouldn't be Rav, then that the Yorei shouldn't be Rav, then the Yerusha's batel. There's no more inheritance if the people contest it. Because we see in Harius, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, and increases Hay Amud Beis. Ein Moshe Melech Ben Melech. You're not allowed to anoint. You don't have to. Now, you don't have to anoint the king who's taking over for his father, the king. And if you're going to ask, Mibnei Ma'amashu as Shlomo, why then did they anoint Shlomo as king? Mibnei Machlokas Adoniyo. And because there was a Machlokas with Adoniyo, his brother, who wanted to be king. So Rashi explains there in Krisus, Bizman Shishalom B'Yisrael Ayah Machlos Yerusha, V'lo Boi Mashicha. When there was peace in Israel, then there was inheritance and you didn't need to anoint the king. But when there is machlokes, lav Yerusha, it's no longer a Yerusha, ubay Mashiach mitchila, and you need to anoint the king. So, the Avnei Nezer was learning from the din of a king. Just like by a king, there's no Yerusha, if there is machlokes, and therefore you need a new Mashiach, you need a new anointing, but there's no Yerusha if there's machlokes, so too by Rabbanus. And this is a tremendous chiddush, because we wanted to say, if it's not mamash din in Yerusha, you see that there are many, there are numerous halachas that are different than regular dinim of Yerusha. This is a special din that a child takes over for his father. It's not a regular din of Yerusha. So here it works out very well with the chiddush that we said earlier. I don't know, I don't think I was clear on that point. But earlier on, the Minchas Hashir said a chiddush that this is not a regular din Yerusha. This is a special din that a son takes over for his father. It takes over his father's position of power. So if it was a regular din of Yerusha, what does Machlokas have to do with the price of tea in China? Who cares that there's Machlokas? But if you say, he should get the job whether there's Machlokas or not. But if you say that it's a special din that a son takes over for his father, so there's also a din that if there's Machlokas, then a son doesn't take over for his father. Like we see by a king. We see here also. So that's the opinion of the Avnei Nezer that works out very well with the Yesod of the Minchas Asher. That if there is a machlokes about the Yerusha, it's batel, just like we find by a king. However, from the Rambam, it's clear that it's not true. And that even though there's machlokes, the Yerusha isn't batel. And why would they then have to anoint the son of the king? In order to silence the quarrelers. L'salik ha-machlokes, and to inform everybody that he's the king. But it's not because the Arusha's batel. So the way Rashi learned is that that's it. After there's a machlokes, the Arusha's batel, and you need a new Mashiach. The Rambam learns, no, the Arusha still is in force. Just the Mashiach strengthens the original Yerusha. It removes the Machlokas. And therefore, come out there, Machlokas, Rashi Rambam, is Yerusha, is Machlokas, Mevatel Yerusha. The Rashi says, Rashi would say that it is. And the Rambam says that it isn't. So according to Rashi then, like the way the Avnei Nezer learns, if there is a Machlokas about the son taking over for his father, the job of Rav, then he doesn't get it. The Machlokas is Mevatel Yerusha. According to the Rambam, he would get it anyway. Because Machlokas is in Mevatel Yerusha. So the Chikrei Leib in Chelek Aleph, Simon Yates, also notice this Machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. And he says, the Iker is Kedivrei HaRambam, that Machlokas is not Mevatel Yerusha. Why? Because how can we take the Rabbanus out of the chazaka of the son against the sheet of the Rambam. Safek Torah l'chumra. I mean, din Torah, he's supposed to get the job. So how do we take it away from him against the Torah? Mi safek? Maybe machlokas is mevatel Yerusha. But maybe it's not. So mi safek, we have to let the kid, the child, the son, keep the job. Not only that, but maybe the Chikrei Lev says it's a special din in the king, that the Torah wanted that the king should be accepted by all of the people, but not other appointees. So that's the opinion of the Chikrei Lev. However, the Minchas Asher says, I beg to differ. Why? Because here you don't say, Safek Torah Lechumra. Safek Torah Lechumra is when you have a Safek Isser. When you have a Safek Isser, you go Lechumra. But here you're talking about rights. Monetary rights. When you're talking about monetary rights, you don't say Safek Torah Lechumra. If somebody's Muchzak and Mamo, you don't say, ah, Lechumra, give it back to the other guy. That's the famous Kasha discussed by the Achoran at length. How come you talk about Mamo? You don't say Safek Torah Lechumra. That's a discussion in and of itself. But the bottom line is clear that in Yanei, in Schusim, in Schusim Mamo, we don't say Safek Torah Lechumra. Here also we're talking about a schus, so you wouldn't say Safek Torah Lechumra and give it to the son. And you could say, Faket, that the community is Muchzuk. And the son is like being Motzi Miyadam. And he can't take away the Rabbanis. They're Muchzuk and the Rabbanis. And he can't take it away Misafek. Let them decide. And not only that, but the Chikrei Lev wanted to be Mechalik between king and other appointees. Who said? Just like you want the people to accept the king, you also want the people to accept the Rav. He should also be Marutza. People should listen to his drasha. They shouldn't run out for Kiddush Club. So therefore, the Chikrei Lev seems to be shver. And would seem that there would be, even if there's a machlokes, that because there was a machlokes, just because there's a machlokes, we wouldn't say that Misafek let the son keep it. The community doesn't want it, the community doesn't want it. They're Muchzak in the Rabbanis. Now, the Avnei Nezer has a gross arichus there, we mentioned earlier, his tshuva, but, and, he is Docha the Chasim Sofer, and he says that there is Yerusha in the Rabbanis, and he's Dovid HaChasim Sofer, who says that there's no Yerushin Rabbanis. There was a very great Chiddush written there by his son, the Shai Mishmiel. You know, the Shai Mishmiel was the son of the Avnei Nezer. And there from Oschav to Oschav Tetz, he writes, in the name of his father, that the only way the son takes his father's job is if the robe of the ear wants him. Otherwise, he's not Zocho, but not Chosav Osav. So you have to take, so you're right, there is Yerusha, but you gotta get the majority. And so Paskin, Rabbi Yeshua, Lemikutne, and Rav Zaks, Mikalish, it was a big machlokes in the town of Lubavitch. And these Rabban and Paskin, that you need the Rov Minyan, or Rov Binyan of the Anshei Ha'ir. So, otherwise, the son doesn't get the father's job. And the Avnei Nezer thanked Hashem that he gave them enough das to be paskin la'amita shel Torah. So we see that even though the poskim say that there is Yerusha b'Rabbanus, however, there are limitations. It's not like all types of Yerushas. Machlokes causes a problem. You don't have all the Seder Nachalos. It doesn't go to the father of the late Rav. It doesn't go to the brother of the late Rav. So you see that it's not a typical Din Yerusha, even if we hold that there is a Din of Yerusha of Rabbanis. It's a very fascinating Kli Chemda. Rav Meir Damplotsky was a big, one of the Gedolei Hador in Poland before the war. He's an amazing man. He had cancer for about 30 years. He was from his 30s to his 60s when he died, and he was writing away. He had a lot of tzaras. He was so poor, you wouldn't believe how poor he was. And yet, He was Mizaka the Olam with his Kli Chemda Al Torah and with his Chemda Yisrael. A very, very special tzaddik, chassid. So he has a very good kasha in the Medrash. It says in the Medrash that we quoted at the outset that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Benot Slof got a Yerusha, he said, "Ah, now I have to ask for the needs of my sons." What do Moshe Rabbeinu's sons have to do with Benot Slofcha? He says, "Now that I see the girls got a Yerusha, I have to ask for my sons. They should inherit me. They should take over as the leaders of the Jewish people." What does that have to do with the Benot Slofcha? That's a din in the Banos. So he said, "The Lord will see me in the Sora, because I haven't seen anybody ask this kasha, but it's a gita kasha." So he says, in order to understand this, first we have to understand the difference between boys and girls when it comes to inheritance. That boys come first. We know if a father has a son, the son inherits, the daughter doesn't. So the Torah says, "Vel b'nei Yisrael t'dabra leimor, v'ish ki yamusu ben ein lo, b'avartem esachalasa levito." If a man dies and he doesn't have a son, so give his nachal as inheritance to his daughter. V'imein lo bas, and he doesn't have a daughter, v'nasatim esnachalasa le'alachiv, and give it to his brother. So why by daughter does it say ha'avor, v'havartem esnachalasa le'bito, and yet by this brother, it says unesatim esnachalasa le'alachiv. You should give. So the daughter says va'avart, and pass it over to the daughter, and by this brother, it says give it. So why are these different lashonos? So the Kli Chemda explains that there's a difference between a son and a daughter. The son and the father have one soul. The nefesh ha'av, the nefesh ha'ben achasi, the ein zeh begeder yerusha klal. They're one. The father and the son are etz and echad. They're not related. They're the same. Onam abas etz alavia yirak korva. A daughter is only related to her father, like other relatives. The only thing is she's the closest relative. And that's why a daughter doesn't inherit b'makom ben. Why? Because when you're talking about a son, a son isn't a yoresh b'chlal. A son isn't inheriting. A son is one with the, he's an etzem echad with the father. He's one with the father. And therefore a daughter can't inherit before him because he's the same as the father. And the daughter is only related to the father, albeit a very close relative. So that's the tremendous chiddush of the Kli Chemda. That a son doesn't inherit mitim kurva. He's not considered a relative. He's considered etz and echad. Masha'en can a daughter, she is considered with her father a close relative. And obviously a son, who is the same as the father, comes before the relative. And based on this, we can explain a Rashi in Yevamos, he says, Tafsamach Be'ezamad Aleph, it says that Akim are Akum, Goyim are not B'nei Nachala. And Rashi says, B'nachur Yuso, Lav B'nei Nachala, Lav B'nei Din Nachala Ninu, Debaskiben, ubechor kepashut. He says that when a person's a goy, they don't have a regular din nachala. They don't have a din of inheritance. Because the daughter is like a son, and the firstborn is like a regular child, like one born after the first child. So we see from Rashi that even though goyim do inherit, however, this din that a daughter doesn't inherit if there's a son doesn't apply. So why would that be? It's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Gemara says that Akum are not b'nei nachala. He says they don't have the regular laws of nachala like we have. For them, a daughter inherits just like a son. They do have dinam of inheritance, just not like us. So what would be different? So based on what we're saying, it works out very well. Because the Mefarshim explain that, he doesn't say which Mefarshim, but the Mefarshim say, whoever they are, that by b'nei noach, a father and son aren't etzem echad. They're not considered one and the same. And the reason is, because an etzem, something that's the etzem, something that's essential, that's inherent, can't change. And with B'nai Noah, can they change? Yes! Because let's say a Ben Noach converts, the Ben Noach becomes Jewish, and no longer the son of his father, or Pialacha. So therefore, he's not considered Etzem Echad with his father, because he can change. And therefore, since they're only related, they're not Etzem Echad. In the meantime, they're only related as long as he's a guy. So therefore, a son and a daughter are the same. When you're talking about a Jew, a Jewish son is Etzem Echad, he's one essence with his father. Therefore, he gets before the daughter, because the daughter is a step removed. She's only related to the father. When you talk about a Ben Noach, there, a son isn't Etzem Echad with his father, because he can convert, and then he won't be related to the father anymore, and he won't be connected to the father, and that proves that he can't be Etzem Echad, because Etzem you can't change, something that's essential, inherent, you can't change. So Mamela must be that he's just related to his father. And if he's just related, then he's no better than the daughter. He inherits equally, just like the daughter would inherit. And based on this, now we understand the diktuk of the Pesukim. The Torah says, Ish ki yamus uven ein lo vavad, misnach alaso levito, says Lashon Ha'avara. What's Lashon Ha'avara? Ha'avara means passing over. Because what should happen when a daughter dies? When the father dies, his daughter shouldn't get the nachala. If there's no son, the daughter shouldn't get it. Who should get it? His father. The late person's father should come first. It's not the halach. Halach is if he doesn't have a son, the daughter comes first. Why the daughter? Why not his own father? He's etzem echad with his father. That's why it says, Lashon Ha'avar. Pass it over. Don't give it to the father of the dead person, of the dead man, give it to his daughter. Because she's only, despite the fact that she's only a relative. However, when talking about the brother, there it says that if he doesn't have a daughter, give it to his brother. It doesn't say va'avart and pass it over to his brother. You're not passing over anybody. Because there the halacha is that if he has a father, then the father gets it before his brother. So when you're talking about a daughter, the daughter gets before the father, before the grandfather, for her grandfather, there it's va'avartem. Because really you should be giving it to the dead person's father, because he's etzem echad with his late son, and nevertheless your daughter says to give it to the daughter, that's va'avartem. But when you're talking about giving it to the brother, there it says v'nasatem, you should give it, you're not passing it over. Why? Because the halacha is that if a man dies and he still has a father, his father gets the inheritance before his brother does. So if his brother is getting it, it's only because there's no father. And that's v'nasatem. And so it's very meduktik now, lashon of the pesukim. By daughter it says va'avartem, because even though there's a father, and the father should be getting it, you're still giving it to the daughter. And by brother it says v'nasatem, because you're only giving it to the brother if there is no father. If there is a father, then you give it to the father. If there is no father, just give it to the son. You don't have to pass anybody over. Now the Gemara in Kiddushin and the Zion on the base talks about an Eved Ivri. And there the Gemara says that an Eved Ivri, when a person dies, his Eved Ivri serves the son, but he doesn't serve his daughter. Gemara says, Menani Mili, the Tana Rabbana, V'avdecha Sheishanim, L'chava Lo LeYorish. You and you're not your Yorish. Atoma L'chava Lo LeYorish, O'enera L'chava Lo LeBen. So you're going to say to you and not to one who inherits you. Or maybe it means not even your own son. When it says, Sheishanim Yavo, that's talking about the son. Even the son is going to get it for the rest of the 6 years. So how am I Mekayim V'Avdecha Sheishanim L'cha? He should only serve you. V'Avdecha Sheishanim. L'chav al aliyah, she's only serving you. That you're Mekayim with his daughter. So what do you see from this Gemara? You see that an Eved Ivri isn't included in Nachala. There's no Yerusha by an Eved Ivri. And yet the son still gets it. The daughter doesn't and the son does. Why? Because by the son, it's not a din in Yerusha. The son is etzem echad with his father and therefore he gets his Eved Ivri. But the daughter is already a Yoreshes and there's no Yerusha by Eved Ivri. And I, what about the father? When a man dies, his father doesn't inherit his Eved Ivri. The answer is that the daughter got in the way. Because as far as Nachala, it says that the daughter cuts it off. She's mafkia bi'atzmius lamala. She's mafkia, she breaks off, severs the connection between the son and the father, because the father no longer inherits the son. Because the daughter of the son, meaning the granddaughter, will inherit before the grandfather. So she severed that connection between the late son and his father. So therefore also by Eved Ivri, the father that person doesn't get to inherit the Eved. The daughter cut that off. And by, so, and by Yerusha, there's no Yerusha by Eved Ivri. It's only Etzem Echad. So a son will inherit his father. That Etzem Echad remains in force. They're considered one being, the father and the son. Ashenken, when we're talking about a daughter, there it's Yerusha. And about Avdechai, serving you and not your Yoresh. And not even the father of the dead person. Because that, since we see by Nachlos that the daughter gets before the daughter gets before her grandfather. So you see that the Etzem Echad between the son and his father were cut off. It was cut off. It only applies to a father and a son. A son inherits his father as an Etzem Echad, but a father no longer inherits his son as an Etzem Echad, and therefore by Eved Ivri there's going to be no Yerusha, because he's behind the daughter now, the grandfather, and the daughter doesn't get it, so the grandfather is also not getting it. So we see Kum Tachois, it emerges that there is a difference between a son and other Yerushim, that a father and a son are considered one. However, a daughter is only a relative. And now we can say as follows. Remember, we had a kasha we started off with, my sweetest friends. We wanted to understand a medrash. The medrash says, now that Slavkad get their portion in the land, Zak Moshe Rabbeinu, now it's time for me to ask that my son also inherit me, that they should receive my position, my title. So he said, what does B'no Slavkad have to do with the sons of Moshe? So let's see. Even though it would seem that in Matan Torah, they don't have a din of Gerush and Mizgayer. It wasn't a din normally when a Gerush and Mizgayer, Medin Torah, a brother is allowed to marry a sister. However, in Matan Torah, that didn't apply. There was no din of Gerush and Mizgayer for Kadosh Shanola Adami. And that's famous discussion as to why. The Maharal says that it's because they were forced. By being forced, there's no Gerush and Mizgayer, Kadosh Shanola Adami. Here the Kli Chemda says that the reason is, why don't we say Gerush and Mizgayer, Kadosh Shanola Adami, that everybody was born anew, and therefore no one's related to anybody after Matan Torah? He says, Kevin Shin is Gayru, Akol B'Yachad, V'Nasa Shinu Gamkein B'Chol Yisrael Yachad, V'Lachayim Ben Nishar Etzim Ima'av, U'Bas V'Makomav Eni Yoreshes. So since everything happened together, so we don't sever any connections. They're all connected as they once were. So a son is still considered Etzem Echad with his father, and a daughter is considered a Yoreshes. However, the sons of Moshe, according to the opinion, that holds that Yisrael came after Matan Torah. So even though it's Mukhach that after they converted, meaning there was Matan Torah, all the Jews converted, and then afterwards Yisro came with Moshe's children and they converted, so it's clear that Moshe's children remain related to him even after Matan Torah, but we can't say that his sons remained in Etzem Echad with the father, because there was a time difference. All of the Jews, when they converted together, so since it was all done at once, so therefore the sons remained Etzem Echad with his father. But if it's done in different stages, first Moshe Rabbeinu converts, together with Am Yisrael, and only then his sons convert. Siray Enechinami, here they remained his children. However, you can't say that his sons were still one with him, because they converted at different stages. So to a certain extent, there was a connection that was severed between Moshe and his sons. They were no longer one being with their father. They were no longer one unit. One large organism, an organic whole. I don't want to call them a large organism, I call them an organic whole. They were no longer like that. Because when the Jewish people converted together, so there the Kli Chemda says the father and the son remain in Etzem Echad. However, if Moshe Rabbeinu converts, and he's Jewish, and then his sons are still Goyim, and only afterwards they come and convert, so you're right, we know that they remained his sons. However, not in the same way. They're no longer Etzem Echad with him. Something changed in the meantime. Moshe Rabbeinu was Jewish, and they were still Goyim, and then afterwards they jumped on the bandwagon. But it's a little too late. They can no longer be Etzem Echad with their father. So they're still related, but not as Etzem Echad. And now the Medrash is pillar close. What the Medrash is saying, now that we have the whole Maisa with Benot Slachad, and we see that daughters inherit, so Moshe Rabbeinu can ask for his sons who really have a din of daughters. And that now they're just considered related to him, and they're not Etzem Echad. So until Benot Slachad came, he said, not. Bas is in Yoresh, so I can't give to my sons either. Because they have a din of bas, they're not Etzem Echad with me. But now, the Benot Slachad are getting their portion, so because of Korva, because they're related, so my sons are still related to me, even though they're not Etzem Echad. And from here, it says the Kli Chemda, we can be so sure the right of the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer wanted to prove from this Medrash that Rabbanus is not the Yerusha. Because even though Mistama they were Roi, if Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to give it to them, Mistama they were Roi, as we said earlier, and nevertheless Hashem refused, it must be because there's no Yerusha in Rabbanus. So from here we see it's not a Rai at all. Because when you have a Ben who's Etzem Echad with his father, so it's clear that he'd be Yoresh's father. But when you have, but here, where it's Moshe Rabbeinu's sons, they have a din of a daughter. Their Etzem Echad with their father was cut off. So just because they were rejected doesn't mean every son should be rejected. Every son is a different din. He's considered one with his father, and therefore he should be accepted. So that's all the deep chiddush of the Kli Chemda. So the Kli Chemda explained why it says Havar by the daughter and Nisatim by the brother. Because daughter's Havar, because really the dead person's father should be Orishim, because he's Etzem Echad with him. And the Torah says, no, pass it on to the daughter. Whereas by a brother doesn't get it if the father of the dead person is still alive. So it's not Havar, it's just Nisatim, because if he's not alive, then it's given to him. It's not passing over anybody. And he also explained why only after the parasha of Benos Slavka, the Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to give it to his daughters. He wanted to give it to his sons, the sons to inherit him. What do sons have to do with Benos Slavka? The answer is Benos Slavka were inheriting Medin Kor, but not Medin Etzem Echad. And so to his sons, since he converted first, the Man De'omer, that Yisrael came with Moshe's sons after Man Torah, since there was no longer an Etzem Echad with Moshe, because Moshe had converted earlier. Moshe, when all the Jews converted together, the sons remained Etzem Echad with their father. They changed together. So they were all one. They remained one the entire time, before and after. But after Matan Torah, when Moshe Rabbeinu was Jewish, and only then, later on, his sons became Jewish, they lost their Etzem Echad with their father. And even though they were still related, they were no longer Etzem Echad. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, so maybe they shouldn't get anything. Then he saw the Benot Slavka getting there as a krova, as relatives. The Benot Slavka got their portion. Moshe Rabbeinu said, so my sons should also get theirs. So my entire Aziz Efrain, Freinlich, my sweet, dear, precious friends, we have been Oseik in the Inyan of Yerusha Barabanus. We've seen various opinions. There is, there isn't. We saw the Chasam Sofer, who seems to hold the Iker, that there is, at least in one Shuva, that there is no Yerusha Barabanus. The Avnei Nezer, that there is. We saw that it's, there are Hagbalos. People have to agree, there can't be machlokes, it's not a typical din Yerusha, it doesn't go to the brothers. We discussed whether somebody got it in the interim. Do the person lose it if somebody gave it to his dead person, a guy gave the job to his brother, but he says not to his children. Do his children get it or not? We saw a discussion of an argument about that. And obviously there's so much more to discuss, but we will leave it here, and we'll be Zochem Yitz Hashem, always to have a good Rabbanim, leaders, to show us the way to Hashem, B'simcho B'tuv Levav. We should Yitz Hashem be Zochem B'karav Mamish, the leader of all leaders, to the Rav of all Ravs, to Mashiach Tzidkenu, B'bias, B'binyan Bayish Shlishi, and Moshe Rabbeinu will become L'tchiyah, and we'll all be able to hear, instead of hearing Ali Erman from Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh, we'll be able to hear Moshe Rabbeinu in Yerushalayim Yer HaKodesh give his shir. I don't know, I said Mashiach is the Rebbe of all Rabbeim. Instead of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's better to say he's the Rebbe of all Rabbeim. Mashiach Tzidkenu will redeem us. Acher is Kireishis Mitz Hashem. And we'll see Tikkun Olam B'Malchus Shakai B'Meherav Yameinu. Amen V'Yamein.